Acts chapter 12 is where our study takes us today. Series upon this rock, we're talking about church. Things in church and things needed among church members. And boy, when she was singing that, I was thinking, yep, I know how good God is. He has brought me through storms, mountains, valleys, everything in between. He's always been there. He's always been faithful. I've got to say amen. Amen. Acts chapter 12, verse 1. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God? I love this story of Peter. It's not just a story. It's not a fairy tale. This literally happened. Okay? This was a day in the life of Peter and the church. Acts chapter 12 and verse 1. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some from the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. Now it was during the days of unleavened bread. So when he had arrested him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four squads of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after the Passover. And Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer, I love this part, constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. And when Herod was about to bring him out, that night Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers, and the guards before the door were keeping the prison. Now behold, the angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison. And he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise quickly." And his chains fell off his hands. The angel said to him, "Gird yourself, tie on your sandals." And so he did. And he said to him, "Put on your garment and follow me." So he went out and followed him. And did not know that what was done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. And when they were past the first and the second guard post, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them of its own accord. And they went out and went down one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. And when Peter had come to himself, he said, "Now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the Jewish people." So when he had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. As Peter knocked at the door of the gate, the girl named Rhoda came to answer. And when she recognized Peter's voice because of her gladness, she did not open the gates, but ran and announced that Peter stood before the gates. But they said to her, "You are beside yourself." Yet she kept insisting that it was so. So they said, "It's his angel." Now Peter continued knocking. And when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But motioning to them with his hand to keep silent, he declared to them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, "Go tell all these things to James and to the brethren." And he departed and went to another place. Then as it was day, there were no small stir among the soldiers about what become of Peter. But when Herod heard and searched for him and had not found him, he examined the guards and commanded that they should be put to death. And he went down from Judea to Caesarea and stayed there. Again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we praise you because you are God. And we come today knowing that you are the answer to every need present. Father, I pray for those in this service who are lost today. who have never made a profession of faith, never placed their faith and their trust in you, I pray that, Lord, you will draw them even now to you. Let them understand your love, convict them of sin, and bring them to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, our Lord, today. I pray for those who need to make another move, perhaps for church membership, perhaps baptism, rededication. Lord, whatever the spiritual need is today, I pray that you'll fill this place with your Spirit and that your Holy Spirit will move freely among us. And Lord, provide every need that's present. May there be a great response to your word. Lord, we pray your will be done. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. You may be seated. Today we start as we look at Peter and the church, and we see immediately that Peter had a great big problem. And that problem was this, that Herod harassed the church. Opening text, it said Herod put in his heart to harass the church, and he had already killed James, the brother of John. And because he had killed James, the brother of John, there was a great positive response among the Jews. They thought it was great. They hated Christians. So Herod, being the vain king that he was, decided, hey, it pleased the people to kill James. So I'm going to continue this trend of persecuting, harassing the church, and killing Christians. And he had Peter arrested. And the problem with arresting Peter is there was a reputation that went along with Peter. You see, Peter's reputation was that a prison couldn't hold him. You go back to Acts chapter 5, where Peter and the other apostles were put in prison for preaching the gospel. And that very night, the Lord opened the doors of the prison, let those guys out. The next morning, they found Peter and the apostles at the temple preaching the gospel like nothing had ever happened. So Herod knows this. He says, okay, we've got to take steps. Peter's not going to get away from me. We've got to take steps to keep Peter in prison. So what he does is he gets four squads of soldiers. Now, a squad was four people. So if he had four squads, that would have been 16 soldiers that had the simple task of keeping Peter in prison where he was. And I love the way they did it. Peter finds himself in prison and he is chained between two soldiers. He's got one chain on this side, chained to a soldier, one chain on that side, chained to another soldier. At his door, at his prison door, there are guards who stand there making sure old Peter does not come out of that prison door. Outside of that, there are two other guard posts, all guarded by these soldiers that Herod had put in charge to make sure that Peter does not get out of jail. You know the cool thing I find about it? They didn't know who they were messing with, did they? They weren't messing with Peter, they were messing with God. And you can't outdo God. But I want you to see, for Peter to have escaped, he's got to be unchained from these guards, go through his prison door where guards are, and go through two guard posts where guards are waiting for him. It's almost impossible. How in the world do you plan a jailbreak that's going to get you out of something like this? There's no human way possible. And you know what? I've discovered that's when our great God is at his best. Do you realize that? I want to start with a question. Do you realize how great our God is? How big our God is? Do you realize that there is nothing too big for your God? As I look at this congregation today, there are no doubt people hurting. There are no doubt people who have concerns thinking, I don't know what I'm going to do next. I don't know how I'm going to get through this. I don't know what's going to happen next. It's just all beyond me. I want to tell you something. If you are a child of God, God loves you and it's going to be okay. Right? So the first thing that we establish is how big is your God. Second thing we're going to establish is what are you going to do about where you are? The church prayed. And I said, the church is puny prayer. In verse 5 it says, but constant prayer was offered to the church, or offered to God for him by the church. But I want you to notice what kind of prayer it was. It was constant, but those folks did not believe their prayer was going to do any good. Have you ever done that? Have you ever prayed thinking, well, you know, I'll pray about it, but it's not going to do any good? These folks, they didn't believe that their prayer was going to do any good, because when Peter comes to the door and he's out of prison, Rhoda runs in there and says, hey guys, quit praying. Peter's at the door. What'd they say? Literally, Rhoda, you're crazy. Woman, you have lost your mind. There is no way, considering where Peter was, that he's at the door. And so they're praying, thinking it's not going to do any good. First lesson, when your problem's big and you're praying, thinking it's not going to do any good, guess what? What do? Pray anyway. It don't matter how you feel. God is still great. Right? I there have been times in life I didn't feel like praying. I didn't think, well, you know, I'm going to pray, but I don't know that it's going to do any good. It doesn't matter how I feel. It doesn't change who God is. God's still God. Pray. Lift up your voice. Lay your burden before the cross of Jesus Christ. Understand that you have no effect upon the mighty hand of God. Pray. I think one of the greatest disservices in today's church is that we fail to pray. I mean, you know, it's not a faith thing, it's a prayer thing. Is there somebody you're concerned about? You know, have you prayed? Have you taken a prayer partner? Come on, let's pray about these people. Is there someone lost? Do you have a child who's never made a profession of faith and you're concerned about, are you praying for him? Well, Brother Doug, I've been praying for him. Yes, I have. I don't think it's doing any good. It don't matter what you think. Keep praying. Okay? These people did not think their prayer was going to be answered. Here's the thing. Okay? Stop being obsessed with your problem and start being obsessed with your God. All right? Your God is bigger than your problem. Do you realize that we are talking about the God who parted the Red Sea so 3 million plus Jews could cross over on dry ground by foot? This is the God we're talking about. Okay? Do you realize this is the God that when Daniel was thrown into the lion's den, this is the God that closed the lion's mouth. Do you realize that? Do you realize? This is the God that when Joshua was in battle, and the children of Israel were in battle with the Amorites, and they were winning, but the day was about to run out of daylight. Is what it was, right? And so, you know what Joshua prayed? You can read about it later, but I'm going to give you a rundown. Joshua, in Joshua 10, verse 12, says, then Joshua spoke to the Lord in the day the Lord delivered the Amorites before the children of Israel, and said in the sight of Israel, sun, stand still over Gibeon, and moon in the valley of Ajalon. Wait a minute. Do you realize what kind of prayer that was? Joshua prays, God, we're not going to finish this battle if something doesn't happen. So Lord, I'm going to pray that you make the sun stand still. And oh, by the way, make the moon stay where it is too. Do you believe that? You know what happened? So the sun stood still. And the moon stopped. I think that's so cool. That is so awesome. Do you realize this is the God that you serve? This is the God that you claim to have faith in. Well, yes, Brother Doug, I believe in that God, and Jesus is my Savior, but I don't think He does that sort of thing anymore. Show me. Show me where God said, I'm not going to be God anymore. I'm going to limit myself, I'm going to limit my power, and I'm not going to do the big things anymore. Did God ever say that? No. I tell you what we've done, we've said we don't want people to think we're some religious fanatic, so we don't want to believe in these really big things that God can do. But God is still God. Do you realize that? If God wants to make the sun stand still, He could make the sun stand still if it was for His glory. If He wants to close the lion's mouth, He can close the lion's mouth if it were for His glory. You see, we don't look at God as being a really big God. We look at problems as being really big problems. Jeremiah 32:27. He told Jeremiah, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? I ask you today, what is your problem? What is your mountain? What are you dealing with? What spiritual battle are you going through? Are there addictions? Are there alcoholism, drugs, pornography? What is your mountain?" Well, Brother Doug, I've tried to fight it for so long. Listen, that's the problem you're trying to fight. Bring it before your Almighty God. The only way you're going to get through it is by the power of God. I promise you. You know what I've discovered? I've discovered when I quit trying and just start listening to God, things get a whole lot better. There's nothing too big for God. And I know you've heard that. But today I want to remind you. Because see, you may not be in this really big place where you're battling a really big battle, but you will be. And you need to know who you can trust when that time comes. Number one, trust your really big God. Number two, trust your really big prayers. I think that's something we don't do anymore. Pray the big prayer. Yeah? Do you remember, before we had our last building ministry, do you remember what you thought when we said, we're going to raise in under a year, we're going to raise $500,000. I wish you could see the look on your face at that time. Yeah, this preacher, y'all would have called me Rhoda. That preacher lost his mind. It's a really big project. But I want to tell you something. We passed $500,000. Why? Because we serve a really big God. It's not this preacher. It's not just a church people. And even though the church participated in it very well, it is the power of Almighty God. Today, that's what I want you to understand as a church, as a saved person, that there's nothing too big for God. Now, I will tell you this. Yeah, Brother Doug, I prayed about it, and God didn't do what I wanted Him to do. Sometimes He doesn't. Okay? But He's God. He's right. He's working all things for your good. I remember in being a parent, raising my children, there were things that my children wanted, and you know what? I didn't give them those things because I knew it was not good for my children. If you are a child of God and you're praying and you're pouring out your heart before God and God is going a different direction than what you're praying, I can guarantee you this, somewhere down the road you're going to praise God that He didn't carry you where you wanted to go. Okay? But pray. Take it before Almighty God. That's what the church did. And yeah, even though their prayers were puny and you know, they didn't really believe what they were praying, guess what happened? God answered their prayer. And they saw the mighty power of God. In response to their prayer, God began to move. And I love it. The angel came into the prison cell that night. And guess what old Peter was doing? He was asleep. Peter had more faith than I'd had probably at that point. I'd have been wringing my hands and, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? You know, Peter's asleep. He's not worried about it. Got to give him credit for that, right? So Peter's asleep. The angel comes into prison. The prison cell is lit up. And the angel slaps Peter on the side and says, Peter, wake up. I'm here to get you, boy. Peter, stand up. And so Peter's thinking, I'm having a vision. This is not real. So Peter stands up. And guess what happens? The chains literally fall off of Peter. Hands and feet. No longer is he chained to the two soldiers that are beside him. The chains fell off. The angel says, Peter, follow me. And he leads him out of that prison door, where the guards were standing guard to make sure that Peter couldn't get out. Guess what? They walk through that prison door. Nobody saw him. They go by guard post number one, where the soldiers are there. They're ready to go. Peter's not getting out of prison. They walk right past the guard post, and nobody saw him. They walk by guard post number two. They walk by that guard post. They're standing there just waiting for something to happen. Nobody sees them. They get to the door of the city. That's where you got to say, amen. Yeah, the best song this morning was just so appropriate. They get to the door of the city. And you know what God said? God said, here, boys, let me open that door for you. Literally. The door opened by itself, the scripture says. You see, this is a 100% God thing. Nobody can take credit for it. Only way it can happen is for God to display His mighty power. And when Peter, it says Peter came to himself. And when he came to himself, he said, now I know for certain the Lord has delivered me. And then the next thing he did was declare to the brethren. Let me ask you a question. How big is your God? You know what I'm guilty of? I'm guilty of forgetting. I'm guilty of forgetting the great things that my God has done. I believe that my God can still perform miracles. Why? Because He's still God. I believe my God can answer my every need. Why? Because He's my God. And my God does answer my need. But you know what? Sometimes I forget to declare Him. I forget to declare to everybody, look at what my God has done for me. Do you? And when I forget to declare Him, you know what? I begin to forget what He's done. I love old Peter. When he goes, he's knocking on the door, they're not answering. He's knocking on the door, and they're not answering. He's knocking on the door, and finally they come down. Oh, Peter, it's you. He says, let me tell you what my God did for me tonight. Question. When's the last time you told what your God has done for you? When's the last time you shared? You know, people ask you, how you doing? Oh, I'm okay. Even on a pretty day when the sun's shining, we'll say, yeah, but it's supposed to rain tomorrow, isn't it? Isn't it a beautiful day? Yeah, but it's supposed to rain tomorrow. You know why we get that? Because we forget what an awesome God we have. We can talk about football. Y'all want to talk about football? Nah, let's don't talk about football. One of these days, the Razorbacks are coming back, okay? But we can talk about football. Talk about basketball. We can talk about politics. Why can't we talk about what a great God we have? Why can't we declare them? You know, last week, I challenged you. I said, invite five people. Did you do that? Did you do that? Did you do that? Why not? Why not? It's not hard. It's really not. And I'm not going to let it go either. I'm going to hang on. Invite them. Get them to be your guest. Share with them. Let them see what your great God. Let them hear what your great God has done for you. You know, in this very congregation here today, there are marriages that were on the brink of absolute destruction that God has put back together. There are people in this sanctuary today who by all human explanation should not even be here. But God. But God. There are people in this congregation today who've been through financial crisis, health crisis, kid crisis, every kind of crisis imaginable. But God delivered you. Tell it. Tell it. If you've ever seen, as Beth sang earlier, if you've ever seen the faithful hand of God, declare it. Declare it. Because there are a lot of people out there who do not know your joy. Oh, friend, how big is your God? I'll tell you how big mine is. My God's big enough to save me. To take my sin and cast it as far as east is from the west. That's how big my God is. My God is big enough that I can cast my care upon Him because He cares for me. My God is big enough that I can trust Him wherever He leads. Can you trust your God wherever He leads? Is your God big enough to follow in baptism and declare Him through baptismal waters? Is your God big enough to follow wherever He leads? What if He called you to preach? Oh my goodness. He's big enough for you to follow. What if He called you to be a missionary in Russellville, Arkansas? I've got news for you. He has called you to be a missionary in Russellville, Arkansas. All right. Is He big enough for you to follow? My friend, the point of the message, I want you to see how big your God is. And I want you to declare His greatness and His glory for everyone to see. Are you doing that? Today, you may be here. And you don't know the glory of God because you've never been saved. Today's the day. Why would you walk out of here bound for hell when Jesus says, I give you eternal life? When Jesus gave His life upon the cross of Calvary, why would you walk out of here refusing the gift of eternal life? Perhaps you're here today and you've never followed the Lord in scriptural baptism. Listen, let's take care of that. Make your testimony public by following the Lord in baptism. Maybe you're here today and you're fighting a battle and there's no human way possible that you can win. I've got good news for you. God. God. Do you understand? It's God. Whatever your need is, nothing's too big for Him. Nothing. If He can create this universe, your little problem's not a problem. You serve a mighty God. Act like it. Declare it. Today, this invitation's for you. And I would invite you. You see, the invitation is a time of response. If God has dealt with you, if He's convicted you, or if He's leading you in a specific area, just because you walk down this aisle, it does not mean you're the world's worst sinner. It means God is leading you in an area. If God's leading you to become a member of this church, will you come? If He's leading you to be baptized, will you come? If He's leading you to rededicate or make a public profession, you come. All right? Your God is worth listening to.
Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the day. We thank you, Lord, for your word and for this reminder, the awesome power that's available in you. And we're told, Lord, in your word that we have not because we ask not. And so, Lord, I pray that we'll all be reminded of how big you are. That our problems are really not a problem for you. So, Lord, I pray today as we come to this invitation that your will be done. In Jesus' name.